You have seduced me, O God, and I have let myself be seduced. I suspect that Simon, now called Rocky Peter, perhaps imagines himself to indeed have been seduced by Jesus in this situation. Because Simon, you remember last week, was praised for it was not flesh and blood that revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And then, you know, he was given this great command: whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And it's upon the rock of your faith, upon you and your successors, that I will build this community of God's called out ones, the community of the church. And now we have this incredible reversal that Simon is now not just rebuked, but get behind me, Satan. I mean, to hear Jesus address us in those terms, to be called by Jesus, that what you are suggesting, what you are thinking, what you are proposing to me are the words of the Prince of Darkness. I mean, how shocking, how scandalous, how terrible it must have been for Simon to go from such praise to such a rebuke. And why? Because it seems that all that Simon wants is the way of glory, the way of the power of the whole community gathered behind, which Jesus could easily have mustered at this point. As we saw last week, they're at the very northern part of the kingdom of Israel. So as he moved further south, he could have gathered all these people together that he's been feeding and curing the sick and teaching and offering new hope. He could have mustered a sizable army and launched himself in a surprise attack upon Jerusalem, upon the temple, and reclaimed it for the way of God. This could have been the easy path that Simon saw was the logical thing for the Messiah, the one that he declared Jesus to be. Not just the Messiah, but the Son of the living God. But instead, Jesus is saying, no, the only way that this is going to end is the way of death, the way of suffering, the way of destruction. And so we can get the confusion of Simon. Well, if we're building a kingdom, if we're about this great and grand project, then Lord, why on earth are you doing it this way? How can the way of suffering, the way of death, be the way that opens up this ultimate destiny of life and the kingdom of God? Simon speaks in the words of human wisdom. He's not suggesting something that's outlandish. He's simply saying, no, if we love you so much, if you are truly the Messiah, how can all of this project end in such destruction and defeat? But of course, the way of God, the way of this kingdom, requires of us this transformation of our pattern of thought and understanding. So often it's so easy to imagine this perfect future and to begin to suggest in our prayers to God that, look, this is the best way for this to proceed. Look, if Lord, if you organize it that I meet this right person and I get this right job and I move to the right house and everything kind of falls into place, look, Lord, that's just going to be so good and so cool. And look, I'll just bless you so much for, you know, bringing everything together in this way in my life. But of course, that's not the way that it happens. Once we move into that place that Simon Peter moved into in the gospel today, once we begin to suggest and propose to God the way that my life should be heading, the way that my life should be about, the way that God was going to bring everything together to fulfill my will, then we know that this is not the way of God. We know that this is not going to be something that is offering our hearts and our lives to God. Whenever we begin to think that in our prayers, whenever we begin to formulate our plans and begin to propose them to God and say, look, this is fantastic, just do this and everything is going to be fine and nobody has to get hurt. But the Lord will say to us, no, the way of the disciple is the way of suffering. The way of the disciple is the way of strained muscles, the way of continuing to open ourselves to a God who's calling us into so much more than we've ever dreamt or imagined. But the only way that we're going to be able to experience all that God has indeed prepared for us is what St. Paul suggests in our second reading tonight. That the renewal of our whole heart and mind is at the heart of this project. If we continue to be like Simon Peter and imagine that it's all about our plans and our proposals and simple human wisdom and logic, then nothing is ever going to work, because we're never going to be open to the power of God being revealed in this. But if we indeed get behind Jesus, which is this invitation to be the way of the disciple, the way of the disciple looks at Jesus and learns from him at every step of the way. The way of the disciple is the one who simply casts our eyes at every step of the journey at the one that we're meant to be following. To look upon Jesus and to be inspired and formed and shaped by his life. The way of Jesus is the way that says, take Jesus as your bridegroom and your friend and walk with him. Learn the way of life that Jesus is offering to us, and then we will not stray from this path. Then the way of life will indeed be opened to us. The way of Jesus is offered to us, but it is the way that calls us as a church and as a community to journey with him, growing in likeness, growing in love, growing in faithfulness, growing in this call to be people who respond to God. Let's indeed open ourselves tonight to say, Lord, what are those things in my life and in my heart where my mind is closed, where my heart is not open, where I need this transformation, this renewing of my mind and heart to walk the way of discipleship, to walk the way that leads to Jesus and to his kingdom.